I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Barbara Yakubu. In the headlines, NCCE calls for tolerance among political parties. NDC accuses EC of sabotage in Volta region, but EC says accusations are unfounded. Military junta in Guinea-Bissau agrees to 12-month transition to civilian rule as a free and deposed president from detention. And dramatic escape of blind Chinese dissident under house arrest. The chairman of the National Commission for Civic Education, NCCE, Mrs. Charlotte Osei, says Ghana can only sustain its democracy if citizens, especially politicians, learn to tolerate the views and opinions of others. She warns that any setbacks will have negative effects on the future and the development of the nation. Mrs. Osei was speaking at the launch of this year's Constitution Week, as well as the 20th anniversary of the 1992 Constitution. Linda Goji reports.
Mrs. Charlotte Osei said the democracy requires constant work and effort to sustain it. This, she said, cannot be fully realized if the citizenry, especially politicians, refuse to accept the ethnic, linguistic, religious and cultural differences in the country. Mrs. Osei stressed that the nation's democratic stability cannot be taken for granted, taking into consideration the many incidents of electoral violence in the sub-region. She reiterated the commitment of the NCCE to educating all citizens on their constitutional right, as well as protecting the Constitution. The Constitution Week and the 20th anniversary of the 1992 Constitution will be marked nationwide with various activities to create awareness about the Constitution.
That was Linda Goji's report. The Public Relations Officer of the Commission for Human Rights, the Commission for Civic Education, Harrison Bailey, has attributed the ignorance of Ghanaians about the country's constitution to lack of public interest and indifference. Mr. Bailey said though the constitution has been made widely accessible and comprehensive, the attitude of the public towards it remains nonchalant. Mr. Bailey spoke to Radio Ghana.
People have the mindset that it is the lawyers who are well versed with the knowledge of the constitution, but that's not the thing. We at NCCE, we have come down to the level of every citizenry by translating the constitution into the various languages, the abridged version. That makes it simpler for everybody to read and then understand the basic contents, make it easier for people to understand.
Mr. Bailey, to follow it up, most of the time it is the literate ones who are reading in English language who also sometimes step down to read in the local languages. So the printing may be there, but does it mean that it makes people aware just because of the change in language?
Yeah, not necessarily that, because per our duty, we move to the community. We do community entry. That is basically what our strategy is, that we have food offices. Instead of using the media of radio or other things, we move to the communities, meet organized groups in the community, meet opinion leaders, they mobilize people, and then we talk to them on the content of the constitution.
Some actions of Ghanaians will show that there is much more to be learned in relation to the constitution. Do you share the view that people are trying, but they cannot know it all?
Yeah, you know, it boils down to our attitude and our interest in what is a priority to us. We have decided to relegate the constitution to the elites and to the lawyers. You know, you ask yourself, how many people have taken the trouble to study the constitution or to look for the constitution? We have brought it to the level, make it very simple for people to carry, make the content as simple as possible for everybody to understand. But it is the interest. It will interest you to know that sometimes we move to the communities, we discuss issues with the people, even to leave documents, materials on the constitution that they are not interested. So in this case, you don't say that it is an institution that has not done its work, but it boils down to attitude and the interest, what you see as a priority and what you like.
So you don't see it as lack of interest in not knowing what is in there, not the NCC not being proactive.
Some people only get to know it when they have cases like, let's say for instance, a police case, the people, my fundamental human rights are being infringed on. But what are they? You need to understand it. So it's for our own purposes that you understand chapter 5 of the Constitution that talks about the fundamental human rights of every citizen.
That was the PRO of the NCCE, Harrison Bailey, talking to Kingsley Obinchue. The NDC is accusing the Electoral Commission of sabotaging the fourth phase of the biometric registration in the Volta region. The party says the EC is deliberately ensuring that there's shortage of registration materials in the region. So what does the NDC want? Richard Kwashiga is the propaganda secretary of the party.
There are shortage of registration materials across the Volta region, right from when the last phase of the exercise started. We have our concerned parties and stakeholders made all necessary efforts to get the Director of Elections in the person of Kofi Asumaning to take steps to address the challenge, but to no avail. Clearly, we think that Volta region, which is our stronghold, is not being fairly treated as far as this registration exercise, especially for three cases concerned.
Mr. Kwashiga, these complaints, others have also raised them in other regions. Are you not being unfair to the EC?
We think that these concerns are widespread in the Volta region. No other region has come under such massive shortage as is being experienced in the Volta region.
Why do you think the EC will do this?
Well, we have a suspicion that it's a sabotage cause. The man who is in charge today as Director of Election was the same person that the NDC had reservations about in 2008 when he was Regional Director in Ashanti region, where we complained about the bloating of the electoral register in the Ashanti region, and he rebuffed our concerns and allegations. But it turned out at the end of the day that the very things that we raised concerns about became real, in that there were places where they had 160% of vote, which was unprecedented. And we think that the same person who is in the cockpit as Director of Election, responsible for distributions, the deployment of logistics and materials, is at it again.
So in short, apart from issuing statement, what does the NDC intend doing?
Well, necessary steps have been taken to that effect, and the reason for which we called on Mr. Farijan to intervene.
Richard Kwashiga is the National Propaganda Secretary of the NDC. Meanwhile, the EC says shortage of registration materials is not deliberate. The commission says it has sent out about 40 million forms and assured people of the Volta region that registration materials will be sent out as soon as practicable. The Acting Director of the Public Affairs of the EC, Christian Ousupari, tells Radio Ghana that the EC has no interest in sabotaging any political party.
The commission has a duty to ensure that every eligible Ghanaian voter is given the opportunity to register. There is no reason why the commission would sabotage its own work in any part of the country. We're just receiving reports that there are shortages of forms in certain parts of the region. You know, this is registration, and when you are doing registration, it is difficult to know the exact number of people who will go to a particular registration center for registration. If you send out the forms according to your projection, and it turns out that some places are so heavily subscribed and forms run out, what you do is to send more forms to the place. So based on the projections that were made, forms were sent out to the various regions. these forms are running out in the voter region, it is not deliberate. We have sent out as many as 14 million forms from the start of this exercise. And we have so far captured about 10.5 million voters. And that means that there is still excess of 3 million forms out there in the various regions. We have reason to suspect that there are forms in certain polling stations or registration centers that are not heavily subscribed. And so we have directed the district officers, the registration supervisors, and regional directors to quickly do mopping up of excess forms so that they can do a redistribution until more forms are sent to the region.
Mr. Parry, has the NDC's concern officially reached your office?
So I'm told that the concern has been sent to the elections department.
Are you working to address it?
Yes, obviously, obviously. And that is why we directed immediately that they should try and do some mopping up of excess forms from centers that are not heavily subscribed.
Christian Owusu Parry is the Acting Director of Public Affairs of the EC. The MP for Ododo Odo, Ni Takikomi, has blamed the Electoral Commission for the violence being recorded at some registration centres in the constituency. Speaking in an interview with Radio Ghana, Mr. Komi said the EC admitted in 2004 that it erred in citing 7 registration centres in commercial areas. He questioned the rationale behind the EC setting up of the centres in these areas without resolving earlier grievances.
But I want to tell all Ghanaians that Ododo-Odo is a peace-loving area. We've accommodated everybody from time immemorial, and we continue to do that. I blame mostly the youth. They've cited those 6 or 7 registration centers within a market and a commercial area. So that will give the permission to people who are not residing here to vote. Because this started not today. So me, I see people making noise about this as if it just started. Since 2004, even during my primaries to be a member of parliament 2005, we had the same problem. After that, we held a number of press conferences. And for that matter, the electoral commissioner himself invited us to his office. And the electoral commissioner did admit it because we told him those 7 or 8 centers there are within the commercial area. There are no residences there because you have railways number 1 and 2 pulling station. Meanwhile, railway is a station. It is Katamanto Markets and the rest you see around there. You go to Independence Avenue. You have a school there. It's a center. Meanwhile, you have the law school behind it. You have the high court behind it. You have the electricity head office at the left side. And then in front, you have the Makola Market. So where is the residence there? So we are saying they've cited those polling centers in areas where there are markets and commercial areas. Therefore, they are giving room for people who are non-residents to come and register. So it is our hope that they will rectify those anomalies so that in future, all this whole baloo we are hearing will cease.
MP for Ododo Odo, Ni Takikomi. The EC has so far registered more than 10.5 million people under the biometric exercise. The commission has also recorded 7,000 multiple registration. The acting director of public affairs at the EC, Christian Owusu Parry, told George Asikri that prisoners are being registered under the fourth phase.
The records we have indicate that 10.5 million people have been registered. And that does not include the registration that was done yesterday.
10.5, what about the number of multiple registration?
According to figures released from the database, the number of double entries that have been detected has gone up to 7,000.
We understand the four phase is the stage that you will register prisoners. But then there are concerns that some of the prisoners do not have the required document you want. What is the EC going to do about that?
There is a committee comprising representatives of the commission and the prisons authorities that is looking at the prisoners' registration. For now, there is no policy of waiving any of the requirements for registration. And so the requirement that they must show some form of documentation before they are registered still stands. If it becomes necessary and the commission thinks that that can be done, maybe the commission will consider. But as it is now, that requirement still stands. The teams that will go to the registration centers in the prisons will look out for these documentation.
Christian Usu Parisi, Acting Director of the Public Affairs at the EC. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. NCCE calls for tolerance among political leaders. NDC accuses EC of sabotaging Volta region, but EC says accusations are unfounded. Military junta in Guinea-Bissau agrees to 12-month transition to civilian rule after freeing deposed president from detention, and dramatic escape of blind Chinese dissidents under house arrest. The National Hajj Committee says it is putting in place the necessary measures to ensure that pilgrims return from Mecca before December 7 so that they can vote. The committee is also asking prospective pilgrims to pay the same fare of $3,100 or its Ghana cedis equivalent as they did last year. The chairman of the National Hajj Committee, Alhaji Al-Hassan Beni, tells Radio Ghana that the deadline for payment of this year's Hajj fare is 31st August, insisting that there will not be any extension.
This year we've set up new plans to avoid problems of last year. The basic problem is that when we get to Saudi Arabia, we have a lot of infiltrators who come to occupy our buildings at Mecca and Mina. So we are planning to get a uniform for all pilgrims this year, so that they will be identified by the uniform, and anybody who hasn't got that uniform will know that it's not part of the pilgrims we brought from Ghana. And we hope that will minimize the infiltration of people who are living in the kingdom. That's one of the new things we want to do.
Many will be wondering the fee payment. How much are you going to charge for the pilgrims this year?
Yes, as we've always been saying, we have been stagnant. We don't move. This weekend we've been getting $3,100, and it goes to the same $3,100. However, people can pay its equivalent in cedis. So if you go to the bank, you ask to know how much $3,100 will be in cedis. If you are told the equivalent, you pay the equivalent. Because you are finding it difficult to get a stabilized price that will take through the period because of the fluctuations in the market.
This year is an election year, and for many politicians, the fear is that some of the people might go there and wouldn't come back to vote. Is there any plans to ensure that they go and come back early so that they can take part in the elections?
Yeah, this is a very good question. We intend to let the first flight go by 4th October, and we are hoping that we'll get a bigger plane this year that will take our pilgrims of 5,000 plus on 5 different occasions. So if you go to 10 flights, we simply mean that the 5,000 will be on 10 flights. And if we start on the 4th of October, by the 14th, everybody should be in the kingdom. And we are hoping that a week after the Arafah, which is going to be 25th of October, that is by 1st of November, the first flight should be coming home. We made educated preparation that by the 15th of November, everybody should be in Ghana to prepare for the elections. That's our preparation this year.
Last year, despite the success story, many people were still found wanting at the Elwak Stadium, especially those that were coming from the northern, upper east and upper west regions. What plans is the Hajj Committee taking to avoid this?
Last year we had 16 flights to go, and only the 14th we found it very difficult to get visas for the 15th and the 16th. And most of our brothers coming from the northern were supposed to go by the 15th and the 16th. And they had already traveled from Tamale, Bolga, Bokuwa, and the rest anyway in Accra. We could not get a visa for them. It was very difficult for us to tell them to go back then. However, this year we intend airlifting them from Tamale Airport to Accra. So whoever we airlifted from Tamale, we are sure he has got his visa, he has got his ticket, he has got everything ready. So as soon as he comes from Tamale to Accra Airport, he's moving to Medina. So there will be nobody left at the airport or at Elwak. This is the plan this year. And the Hajj village, we are going to make it strictly for those who are traveling. Anybody who is not going to go to Mecca will not be allowed into the Hajj village. So that will be sure that only the pilgrims go in there and travel in comfort and safely. Well, the only message I'll have for them is, since we have got the closing date at 31st of August, we are entreating them to do their best and pay early. Because this year we are not going to extend the deadline.
Alhaji Al-Hassan Bene is the chairman of the National Hajj Committee. The Editors Forum has held its annual get-together in Accra. The get-together brought together editors, freelance and members of the fraternity. The chairperson of the forum, Ajoye Buafari, said the event is a period to take stock of the forum's activities and add some sparkle to life and reduce stress. The Editors Forum, which registered in 2005 as an NGO, has about 30 members. The managing online editor of the Ghana Business Views, Emmanuel K. Agbovi, said the attendance was very poor. He entreated editors to join the forum in order to tap the rich experience of past editors. A mini silence was observed in memory of the late Niyi Alabi and Chum Berima. Vice President John Mahama has inaugurated a 75.21-kilometer Agogo Ifirife Dome Tranquil in the Ashanti region. The $30 million project was financed by the Millennium Challenge account. The road will serve as a major link to the Agogo Konongo Road, which intersects the Accra Kumasi Road. Sod was cut in 2009 for work to begin in the otherwise muddy rough road. The upgrading of the road will therefore facilitate the inland travel and provide fast and easy access to food crops and vegetables to market centers in the southern part of Ghana. Vice President Mahama said there can be no meaningful agriculture without proper means of transportation. Government, he said, will continue to invest in that area. He expressed the hope that motorists will maintain the roads by driving within speed limits. The Vice President earlier called on the Omahini of the Agogo traditional area, Nana Ikuakusapon. Meanwhile, the Vice President is in Gosu in the Bonohafu region to launch a national cocoa rehabilitation program. What that program seeks to achieve, among other things, is to embark on an aggressive nationwide control of mistletoes, a disease which affects cocoa. It will also replace the old underproductive cocoa farms with hybrid cocoa variety, which is high-yielding, disease-tolerant and early maturing. International Needs Ghana, an NGO, has donated equipment valued at 17,000 Ghana cedis to 44 adolescents who are at risk of child prostitution in the Ododo constituency. The equipment, which ranges from sewing machines to hairdressing kits, are to give the beneficiaries employable skills. Speaking at the ceremony, the MP for the area, Nita Kekomi, asked the youth to take entrepreneurial skills that can benefit them. He said the skills when acquired will not only make them independent, but also give them a sound financial footing to be able to get basic things needed in life. Mr. Komi advised parents to support their wards so they'll be able to complete their vocation successfully. The head of programs at International Needs Ghana, Mrs. Joyce Odami, said the donation is to promote the development of young people and give them the livelihood they need. She said the NGO has helped 500 people under the inception of the program 9 years ago. Insurance companies have been advised to expand the provision of educational insurance to ensure the security of students on the demise of their parents or during disability. The principal of the Methodist University College, the Reverend Professor Samuel Ejepong, gave the advice at the fifth graduation of the Ghana Insurance College in Accra. Here is a report by Sandra Danso.
The Ghana Insurance College is the first insurance college in Ghana with the focus of developing, training, educating and mentoring insurance professionals. This is to enable them to excel in the practice of the insurance profession. The principal of the Methodist University College, Reverend Professor Samuel Ejepon, said the insurance companies should not limit their provision of educational insurance to only tertiary and secondary school levels, but also to the basic levels as a way of expanding opportunities.
Training institutions are supposed to take the chance, polish it, and make it priceless. Then we are contributing to development. Permit me to use this platform to call on insurance companies in Ghana to expand their provision of educational insurance in order to ensure security of education for children and wards at all levels of the educational ladder when their parents or sponsors pass away or are disabled.
Reverend Professor Ejepon urged the insurance companies to set up a scholarship fund for students as well as a fund for research in insurance, medicine, science and agriculture. The director of the school, Justice Ofori, asked the graduates to show professionalism in the conduct of their duties, as Ghana and the whole world will be looking up to them. In all, 279 students graduated in diploma, advanced diploma and certificate programs. Some of the graduates who were awarded for their outstanding performance shared their feelings with Radio Ghana.
I never knew I'd win this particular award as joint overall president in advanced insurance diploma. I'm glad that I won this particular. I feel proud of myself. I think my effort has been recognized, and we are keeping that in mind, and we are hoping that the certificate that you acquire, you're going to make good use of it.
I feel so good, and I thank God for all this. It was quite difficult, but I think in everything you need God, you need support from family and friends, and determination can make it.
Some awardees ending that report by Sandra Danso. The body of Gideon Kwatinyebua, a national service person and biometric voter registration officer who got drowned in the Tano River in the Western Region, has been retrieved by a search party. A source at the Jomoro District Office of the Electoral Commission, who made this known to the GNA, said the body was found after a three-day intensive search by the people of Mpiasem. Nyebua got drowned in a boat on which he and some other electoral officers were traveling, hit a rock in the Tano River and split into two on the 24th of this month. All the passengers swam to safety with the exception of Yebua, who hailed from Bibieni in the Western Region. Yebua was serving as a teacher at Kwabre near Elubu. He and his colleagues were traveling to the district electoral office at Hafasni to submit a report on the third phase of the registration when the incident happened. The source said the body of Yebua has been deposited at the Hafasni Government Hospital mortuary for autopsy. A memorial service in honor of Ghana's first president, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, has been held at the Kwame Nkrumah Mausoleum in Accra. Dr. Nkrumah died 40 years ago while in exile. Bright in Trauma was at the ceremony and has filed this report.
Dr. Kwame Nkrumah died in exile after his government was toppled in a military coup on February 24, 1966. He died of cancer in a hospital in Bucharest, Romania, in April 27, 1972. Party executives, members of the diplomatic corps, well-wishers attended the wreath-laying ceremony. Ironically, none of Nkrumah's children were present. In a sermon, Reverend Father Stephen Sakpasu of the Holy Spirit Cathedral in Accra admonished the Nkrumah family to use his death to reunite. He said the CPP can better function if all Nkrumahists unite. He spoke against hate speeches that has characterized political discourse of late.
40 as a period of separation is not easy. We say he died 40 years ago. If we rise up, prepare ourselves adequately, in mind, in heart, in accent, we will do better things than as we see today.
An aspiring presidential candidate of the CPP, Bright Akwiti, said Dr. Nkrumah was a great political organizer who founded and built the CPP into a formidable organization that was dedicated to developing Ghana and Africa. He said Ghanaians are yearning for the return of the CPP and that the inspiring thoughts of Dr. Nkrumah to save Ghana from the course of self-destruction. Mr. Akwiti said Nkrumah lives on and never dies, even in his mortal self, nor in the clarity of his thoughts and vision.
Our challenge today is to restore the CPP to a fast political and organizational structure as the party with the most accumulated experience in mobilizing the people for a self-reliant, equitable and all-inclusive national growth.
Another aspiring presidential candidate, Dr. Abu Sakara, said Dr. Nkrumah was a clear and decisive leader. He condemned misguided statements by some political figures.
We must bury our antagonism and reach across the political divide to seek partnerships that serve the common good. Even as we assert our inalienable right to vote and be counted, we must also ensure that the freedom of others are not trampled upon.
A wreath was laid on behalf of the CPP.
Brighton Tramis report. On the international front, The military junta in Guinea-Bissau has freed the interim president and former prime minister seized in a coup. Former Prime Minister Carlos Gomez Jr. and interim president Raimundo Pereira have been flown to Cote d'Ivoire, commercial capital of Abidjan. The co-leaders have also agreed to a 12-month transition to civilian rule as demanded by regional bloc ECOWAS. The army seized power during the presidential election on April 12. The soldiers claim that Mr. Gomez, who was considered the front-runner in the election, planned to reduce the size of the army. And Chinese dissident Xin Guangxing is in the U.S. Embassy in Beijing following his dramatic escape from house arrest. Fellow activist Hu Jiao said Mr. Xin, who is blind, had scaled a high wall and was driven hundreds of kilometers to Beijing. Mr. Xin has since released a video addressed to Prime Minister Wen Jinbao. There are reports that his brother and nephew have now been held by police. The UN Human Rights Chief, Naville Pillay, said she was concerned for the well-being of Mr. Xin and his family, who live in Dongxigu Town, Shandong Province. To end the news, the main points again. Political tolerance has been identified as a critical recipe required to sustain Ghana's democracy. According to the chairman of the NCCE, Charlotte Osei, if this tenet is upheld, it will speed up national cohesion. Guinea-Bissau's interim president and prime minister have arrived in Cote d'Ivoire's commercial capital, Abidjan, after their release from detention. The coup leaders have meanwhile agreed to a 12-month transition to civilian rule proposed by ECOWAS. And Chinese authorities are still trying to resolve a puzzle concerning the escape of blind dissident Xin Guangxing from house arrest. Reports say he is currently in the U.S. Embassy in Beijing. And that ends the news broadcast from Radio Ghana, Accra.